Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We have a very special guest coming on tonight. She's going to tell you guys all about emotional intelligence, among other things. Krista, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Great. How was your day today?
Pretty good. The weather's a little cold out here in Atlanta, but it's not snowing, so that's always a good thing over here.
That's great. I know you guys had a couple of times this past month that you were really in danger out there.
Yes, my emotional intelligence was definitely tested, to say the least.
That's great. All right, so before we get started, we want to make sure that everybody knows how to reach you. So can you start off with giving us your contact information?
Sure. Again, my name is Krista Thompson, and my website address is www.btbreakthroughtransitions.com. I can be reached via email at drcdrc@btransitions.
Before we really get started into everything that's going to be going on, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you were raised, a little bit about your family life, so they can see exactly who we're talking to here.
Sure. Well, as we've discussed previously, I am a military brat, so I come from a military family. So as you know, most people that are raised in the military really don't have a home. But I was born and raised overseas in England and Germany, moved to the U.S. in 94, moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where I stayed for 17 years, went to high school out there, went to college to get my undergrad at Arizona State, and I've moved out here to Atlanta over the last couple years. So I guess if I could consider something home, Phoenix would definitely be it.
All right, great. Now, the way that I found you, I was just kind of, you know, online, and I was looking at certain things that I was interested in. And I came across your website, and it was dealing with emotional intelligence. Now, I recall hearing that term maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, and for me it was the first time I'd ever heard it. But I was real interested in the concepts of emotional intelligence and how it can benefit us as far as our personal lives, as far as the businesses that we may be in, or even in dealing with people. So can you tell us just a little bit about emotional intelligence and, you know, what it really means?
Of course. Well, emotional intelligence, there's a couple acronyms you may hear. I'll probably address it as EI during our time together. You may also hear EQ, which is short for emotional quotient. So basically what emotional intelligence is your ability to perceive, express, and understand and manage your own emotions, and also being able to perceive and understand others' emotions as well. The term emotional intelligence actually was popularized back in the mid-90s. There was an author by the name of Daniel Goleman, and he wrote a book on emotional intelligence, which focused primarily on EI within the organizational setting, particularly with managers. And during that time, it kind of took off, but emotional intelligence has actually been around for quite a few decades. Prior to that, some researchers, Sowerby and Mayer, had actually termed the coin EI, and there's been a ton of researchers before then who have worked on different types of multiple intelligences as well. So it is kind of still picking up speed and becoming even more popular as the years go by, but it's been around for at least a good 20, 30 years at least. So,
what brought you into this field? What was it about emotional intelligence that made you want to study it more?
It was actually kind of funny how it happened. I was sitting at work with a coworker, and we were discussing, I guess, HR-related situations. We're just talking about, you know, coworkers and managers and different people and our personalities and, you know, who was very aware of what was going on around them and who wasn't. And so it was just a regular conversation. And he had actually mentioned this term to me, emotional intelligence. And he started talking about it, and I was like, okay, I haven't heard it before. So I was looking for a topic. At the time, I was working on my doctorate, and so I kind of needed a topic for my research, for my dissertation. And so I started looking into emotional intelligence, and my doctorate is in organizational psychology, so there was kind of a relationship there or some type of familiarity. So started researching a little bit, and I was like, okay, this is kind of neat, and that's kind of where it took off, and the seed was planted. I used it for my dissertation research, and after doing that, I still liked it, and so I just kept using that as a focus, and as I progressed throughout the years, I worked on my own emotional intelligence as I began to understand it more, and I realized how effective it was in my own relationships, both personally and professionally. And so now it's just kind of been ingrained in everything that I do and in every interaction that I have with pretty much everyone.
So now the company that you have, tell us a little bit about how that also incorporates emotional intelligence.
Sure. As I mentioned, I'd done research on emotional intelligence. So after, I think probably midway through my program, I wanted to focus on helping other people in some way, not necessarily in psychiatry or anything like that, but wanted to find a way to help people. And during the time as I was working on my program, the last few years I had a lot of life-changing events and a lot of transitions that I was trying to get through myself. And with the use of emotional intelligence, I was able to successfully, even though it was difficult in some areas, I was able to successfully make it through those transitions and make it through to the other side. So as I progressed through the program, I was like, okay, well, maybe this is something that I could incorporate on some level. And during that same time, I was having conversations with a variety of different people, and one of those populations were athletes of different levels. So high school kids, college athletes, professional, retired, so on and so forth, and got into a lot of discussions about the transitions from those different levels of athleticism and how difficult it was to get through those transitions through their careers and beyond that. And I think a lot of us can probably turn on the news and see an array of different stories of athletes who have struggled to transition in various aspects of their lives. So I had decided a few years ago, okay, maybe that's something, maybe I'm onto something. I can use emotional intelligence as a foundation for individuals within transitional periods. Because when you think about it, when you go through a transition, there's a lot of feelings of just not knowing what to expect, which can create anxiety, stress, fear, a variety of different emotions. And going through a lot of those transitions myself as I experienced, I wanted to be able to help people kind of anchor themselves and anchor their emotions and help them be more aware of those transitions, what was going on, what to expect, so that they could, again, come through on the other side successful.
Well, that's almost, you know, sounding like something that a life coach may even use when helping people, or a relationship manager. Is all of that also incorporated into this with your program?
Yes. Yes, it definitely is. I focus, there's a couple elements of my business, Breakthrough Transitions. Initially, the focus was on, I like to call it life strategizing. I know life coaching is kind of cliche, but I kind of like to help individuals strategize those life transitions. So, you know, talk to them, okay, well, what's going on? What are you thinking? Okay, what goals can we, you know, come up with that will help you get through those transitions, and using emotional intelligence to help you, again, anchor yourself and get through those. So that's definitely an aspect of it, and probably the primary focus is working one-on-one with individuals and kind of helping them through those steps. But also on the other side, being a certified practitioner in one of the emotional intelligence assessments, I do work with organizations and groups of individuals who just kind of either want to know what emotional intelligence is, or they want to know where they fall within this particular assessment in terms of their EI. And in some situations, you know, team building, so on and so forth, based around emotional intelligence. So there's a couple dynamics to the business, but the life coaching aspect and then the organizational aspect kind of combined into one.
Okay. Now, something kind of struck a chord here when you said team building as far as emotional intelligence. So how would you say a team that had maybe some of the members had high emotional intelligence, some of them may have had have lower emotional intelligence, what would they need to do to accomplish goals? And would you recommend, you know, your course and your training, you know, even for people before they decide to start teams?
Yes. You know, with speaking to the high and the low emotional intelligence that individuals may have as a collective group, because let's be honest, if you're bringing a group of people together, you're going to have different personalities, different, I mean, just everything's going to be different. And so one of the things, probably one of the primary things about emotional intelligence that I think is one of the most important, particularly when working with teams, is awareness. And so even someone with a high emotional intelligence, they may be aware of their own emotions, they may be aware of others' emotions, but they may not necessarily be aware of the team dynamics in terms of what the emotional intelligence of the whole team is. And then on the other end, if someone has low emotional intelligence, they may not be aware at all. They may not even be aware of their own feelings. And so creating that awareness as a team, as a whole, you know, it kind of plants the seed to help the team become cohesive and to know, you know, how everyone acts in certain situations, or, you know, what may stress someone out, and just kind of being aware, just having that awareness of that will help them become more dynamic of a team and hopefully more successful in their performance.
Now, something that when you said about being aware of your emotions, mm-hmm. it kind of reminds me of the past 3.5 years I've traveled across the country with the company that I'm working with now. And it was until I slowed down to, you know, like what I like to call take a breath, that I realized that I had been stressed. So would you say that when the person has that type of feeling where they don't even know what's going on around them because they're so busy, you know, into work or making things happen correctly, that part of emotional intelligence is understanding your feelings? And how would I gauge what I'm feeling about different things?
I can tell just by what how you're asking these questions, you already know a lot about emotional intelligence, which I'm kind of impressed with, I may say.
I won't say I know a lot about it, but just listening to you, I'm kind of, you know, picking up on certain things so that I can, you know, maybe ask an intelligent question, I feel.
Well, you're doing a good job. You're doing a very good job. And that's probably when people ask me, okay, well, what can I do to kind of, you know, start that process of being aware, acknowledging my feelings, like you mentioned, just kind of just stopping what you're doing and just taking a deep breath and just taking that moment and just paying attention to what's going on around you, paying attention to where you are, paying attention to what you're doing, pay attention to how you're feeling, paying attention to how your body's reacting. You know, is your heart rate increased? Are you sweating? Is your breathing increased? all of these factors all play into emotional intelligence and, you know, other aspects of yourself as well. It's all intertwined. So when you take that moment to breathe, it gives you a chance to kind of become one with yourself, if you will, kind of have that out-of-body experience where you're thinking, okay, well, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? And it may not even be, you know, something necessarily related to emotions. Maybe you didn't eat lunch, or maybe you didn't get enough sleep, or, you know, there's so many different factors that can play into that. But definitely taking that time in that moment, even if it's 10, 15 seconds, just to take a deep breath, center yourself, and then kind of, you know, do a little self-analysis and kind of find out, okay, how you're feeling and why you may potentially be feeling that way, can kind of help address if there are any problems or situations that may arise, kind of help address those and solve those problems.
Wow, great. Now, we have a number of listeners on the line. Sometimes they may want to ask questions or make a comment. So I'm going to start with the area code 602, and the first three digits are 751. 602, first three digits are 751. You're on the air. Would you like to ask her a question or make a comment?
Hello. Actually, this is Krista's mom. I was listening in, and strange that you called my number. Yes, I definitely have a question, and that question is, Krista, you have done an assessment on my emotional intelligence, and I was wondering if you can talk about doing assessments and what that can show for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Great, Krista, were you able to? Okay. It's always good to have your mom come on.
Of course. And while she did call in, I just want to quickly plug, I did a story on her, and she works for Southwest Airlines today on their blog. So www.blogsouthwest.com. There's a nice little story about emotional intelligence and my mother as well. So, but the assessment in itself, as I mentioned, I'm certified to give the EQI assessment. So essentially what it does, there's 21 different scales, and so it focuses on a variety of different areas, social aspects, personality aspects, emotional intelligence aspects. And essentially when you take the test, it's 133 items, takes about 15 or 20 minutes, and there's a full, starting with a 21-page report, and so it's very, very detailed. And I work with clients, we basically go through page by page, you know, okay, how do you think you feel, how do you think you are in this certain situation, and kind of have the client gauge, and then we'll kind of look at their results. And most of the time it's, sometimes it's enlightening, but surprisingly a lot of the times it's kind of confirming. And so I think a lot of people already have a foundation for emotional intelligence, but to actually see it and have it confirmed really helps them become even more aware. So I do see that a lot, more confirmation than anything. Like, oh, yeah, I know I do that. Okay, great. And then it makes that person more aware as they go out into the world and kind of experience some of those things for those emotions. Enlightenment and taking the EQI is definitely a good word to describe it. And I've taken it myself and kind of experienced the same type of thing as well. So you don't necessarily, again, have to take an assessment to improve your emotional intelligence, but it does kind of set a baseline to understand where you are and where you may want to go and how that can improve your personal or professional life.
Mom, did that answer your question well enough?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, I have to say you're pretty courageous to let your daughter give you a test like that after growing up with her and raising her that long. She could say, Mom, this is what's wrong with you.
You know, I actually thought that at first. I thought, well, and I actually said, I don't think you want to know the emotional intelligence of your mother. But as I did the test, I was really intrigued. And then when Krista gave me the results, well, first of all, we found out that it was me. It was exactly how I am. But it did really help. Yeah, it really did help to answer some of the questions that I had about why do I do this or when do I reach my stress level. So I'm glad that I did it. And, of course, Krista was very professional. I say that as a professional myself and as her mom. So.
Wow, that's great. We've got a big endorsement there. Krista, before we go any further, can you please let our listeners know how to reach you?
Yes. Again, my website is www.dtforbreakthroughtransitions.com. I can be reached via email, drcbrc@bttransitions.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Dr. C Transitions, and I also have a Facebook page with my company, Breakthrough Transitions, LLC.
All right. Now, we have another listener here from the 732 area code. So 732 area code with the first three numbers being 829. I'm going to put you on. Maybe you have a question or maybe you have a comment. 732, you're on. Okay, I'm taking the 732-829, just wants to listen. So once again, we have some people that come on and they just want to listen, and that's okay too. Now, what would you say was the biggest challenge that you had when you decided to start your business?
Goodness. Well, it's funny because the name of my company being Breakthrough Transitions, it's weird how it kind of all worked. I knew what I wanted to do for other people and how I wanted to help other people, but I didn't realize how much of the company name really was who I am. And so for me, kind of branching out and, you know, for years I worked in higher education. So, you know, I was a salaried employee, your typical 2 weeks vacation, you know, so on and so forth. And so I've always been a very, stability is just me. I do everything by a schedule, times, everything. And so to kind of start this business, it was completely opposite of what I was used to and what I was comfortable with. And
wow.
So for me, that was a huge transition to make to start this business. And I really think, I'm really grateful that I've gone through this transition so that I can really relate to other people who are also experiencing, whether it's unexpected or expected, planned transitions. So it's been pretty an enlightening experience to go through this whole process.
That's a great reason. So it was really looking inside of yourself when you were putting together everything to be able to assist other people. So what would you say would be the biggest advice or quality you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
I think being honest with yourself and really being honest and open to all aspects, positive and negative, of yourself and finding ways, you know, to improve things that you don't like and embrace the things that you do equally. You know, because I think a lot of people sometimes focus on the negative, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, so on and so forth, and they have so many great qualities, positive qualities, that they should be embracing as well. So just kind of having that balance and being open to opportunities and self-improvement and all of those different aspects and being honest with yourself in what you want and what you need and going out and getting it.
That's a great synopsis, one that a lot of us should, you know, taken to our being as far as when we need to really go out and try to do something and just to get that faith.
Right.
It surprised me that the first caller also was your mom. Did you know she was going to be listening in today?
I did, and it's funny because her number, I mean, nowadays with phone numbers, most of us don't know anyone's phone numbers, and hers was one of the very few that I do know. So I was like, okay, all right, it's my mom.
And, you know, we've had a lot of live listeners. We may have a lot of listeners who are also listening through thinkbigradio.com. Before we even move on to more questions, we have a number here, 704 area code. The first number is 930. That's 704-930. I'm going to put you on so that you can ask a question or make a statement. Just kind of let us know where you're from and your name, please. 704-930, you're on. And they're off. Sometimes that happens when they don't want to ask a question or anything. They'll just hang up and call back.
Right.
So what now I know earlier you talked about a particular book that a gentleman wrote that brought up emotional intelligence first and how you got, you know, involved in it. But did you have any other mentors or training resources that you'd like to suggest to our listeners that may help them learn a little bit more about emotional intelligence?
There are so many out there. I mean, it's absolutely amazing the amount of material on emotional intelligence on all different levels. Most of the reading that I've done on emotional intelligence have been for research purposes, so I have a feeling that many people won't want to read through a 300-page book on it. Huh. Earlier this week, I, you know, just went on and Googled emotional intelligence books and started looking. And, I mean, there are books on everything. Now, most of the books and literature that you will see out there are focused on organizational aspects. So especially with leaders is a very prominent area that EI is focused on, leaders, managers, organizations, so on and so forth. But again, as I've mentioned, those more professional or organizational aspects or books can also relate to your personal life as well. So a lot of the things that I do read on a more professional level, I do take that on a personal level as well. But probably that Daniel Goleman is probably one of the most popular, and another foundational book that I used for research was Howard Gardner's, and I'm trying to remember his the title, but it was Multiple Intelligences was in the title of the book, but that was actually written in 1983. So it doesn't talk about emotional intelligence, but he talks about using multiple intelligences in education primarily. So he talks about how a lot of kids K-12 in education, you know, just because a kid's not successful academically doesn't mean that they're not smart. They may have a different way of learning, and it goes into different intelligences, and that's kind of how the emotional intelligence aspect kind of grew out of that. But like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's not anything in particular that I've bought probably in the last few years, but again, just kind of looking out there, you're able to, I think anyone would be able to find any books on emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that you said made me think about a book I read by Robert Kiyosaki, and it was dealing with children and how they learn, whereas some children, you know, they're good at taking tests. Other children, they have to hear your voice before they can move forward. And others, they were, you know, it was about viewing, you know, or hands-on. so I can see how, and I can't think of the name of that book. It wasn't Rich Dad Poor Dad. I think it was Smart Kid, Dumb Kid, or something like that. I'm not sure. I've read so many. Yeah, that's marvelous. So why don't you tell us a little something about yourself that, you know, most people don't know, like maybe a hobby or anything.
A hobby. I will preface it and say that I am incredibly competitive. It's really bad. I really do have to watch myself and my emotional intelligence aspects when I'm doing something competitive, because I take it to a whole new level. So, funny enough, bowling is one of my things, and anyone that knows me knows that I will challenge anyone to a game or two or three or four of bowling, and I usually win 99% of the time, and I'm pretty proud of that. So,
you know, it made me think of you, just like, I have to watch my emotional intelligence. So that is something that you also have to be aware of and stay alert to, because even when you're describing your passion for bowling and your competitiveness, you know, it made me think that you're one of those, you know, ladies that'll say like, yeah, you know, even before you get the strike.
Oh yeah, I will easily hurt feelings if I don't pay attention. So, you know, sometimes I get into the moment, but you know, I make sure to kind of take, like we talked about, take a moment and stop and think about the other person and how they may feel, if I call them a loser or something like that. But no, in all honesty, yeah, this is something that I like to do, and have a good time doing it.
That's good. So how long do you think, would you say that for your idea that it possibly took for when you said, you know what, I love this, I want to make sure that this is something that I can share with people, from when you decided this is what you wanted to do to where you got to, you know, now your company's formed, now it's time for you to go out and just, you know, get business. What would you say that time frame was and the things that you may have went through to get there?
I think the seed was planted probably about 4 years ago, before I even knew about emotional intelligence. So, you know, again, I knew I wanted to help people in some way. And I think actually how it came about is that for whatever reason, in an office and other companies that I've worked for, people just naturally gravitated towards me with their problems and their issues, and I've helped them resolve some of those problems. In one office I worked in, I was in a queue, but they called it Krista's Corner, because everyone would come to my corner and sit down and talk to me about their problems professionally and personally, and I was like, okay, I can do this, it's kind of fun. So 3 or 4 years ago, that's kind of when it started, and then the emotional intelligence piece, in all honesty, I hadn't thought of incorporating that until maybe a couple years ago. If you talk to anyone who's kind of gone through the dissertation process or doctoral process, the last thing they want to do is incorporate any aspect of their research in anything, because they've been doing it for so long, they just want to, you know, not deal with it. I wanted to burn my papers by the time I was done. But it was such an interesting topic, and I got so much out of it, you know, I thought, well, how can I incorporate this? And so, you know, then I got certified and was like, okay, this is good. This is something I can work with. And so the combination, or the marriage, if you will, between the life coaching or life strategizing and the emotional intelligence aspect is fairly new for me, only a couple years. But the process started, I'd probably say, about 3 or 4 years ago. And I do think a lot of that, besides everything that I had going on, was just taking that first step and stepping out of my comfort zone and knowing that, you know, kind of anticipating what those feelings were, or those emotions that I would have, you know, the fear, the anxiety, nervousness, all of those things, and really trying to embrace those as best as I could as I took that step forward to making that transition into starting the business.
All right. Okay. Now, is there anything that you'd also like to cover that we may have not touched upon?
We've done pretty well. I did have, if it's helpful, I do have usually with my clients kind of go through a couple tips that may be helpful to someone and kind of get them thinking about emotional intelligence and ways they can incorporate into their life. So I definitely have no problem speaking on that.
You can ask me a couple of questions now, just a couple.
Okay.
So I'm ready. I just knocked on the door. Boom, 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 boom.
Come on in.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. How are you?
So far, so good. My name's Big. I heard about you. I listen to Think Big Radio, and I'm happy to be here in Atlanta, and I just wanted to stop in. I have my checkbook ready.
Good start.
Okay, so
shall I
sit here on the couch?
Sure, you can go ahead and sit on the couch. Come on,
okay,
whatever
good.
Makes you more comfortable.
All right, I'm comfortable right now.
Okay. So, Big, what brought you here?
Well, I've noticed that sometimes, maybe toward the end of the day, someone may ask me, like, are you okay? What's wrong? And it makes me wonder, am I okay? Is something wrong with me? You know, I think that I'm feeling pretty fine or pretty well right now. Maybe they can see something that I can't see.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if maybe that has something to do with my emotional intelligence, where I may not be aware, but people around me may be aware of how I may be feeling, or to make them bring that question up if it's happened more often than less.
So let me ask you this. How do you feel towards the end of the day?
Toward the end of the day, I might be a little drained because I've been, you know, assisting a lot of different people and have to listen to a lot of their fears and their emotions and calm them down during the day and try to do my best to make sure that they have a clear understanding of the process and what I'm going to do for them. So I might feel a little bit down or, you know, kind of drained.
Okay. So when drained, do you mean do you feel like you take on their emotions or you're just simply tired from the process?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I always feel like I need to drink some water.
That's a good thing. You should always hydrate throughout the day anyway. So do you feel it takes a toll on your physical being as well?
Well, it used to, but now I think I'm able to really handle that portion a little bit more well, and I think that a lot of it had to do with maybe, you know, not eating right throughout the day and things of that sort.
Okay. So do you feel those, just the eating and the drinking may have an effect on the way that you feel by the end of the day?
Well, the drinking, let's make sure that we're letting everybody know we're talking about drinking
water
H2O. Not alcohol. Because you may have some drinkers that come in there. That's part of their issue, but it's not mine.
Right.
Well, I don't know. There could be a lot of things. It just seems like 8 hours is more like 12 almost.
Mm-hmm. And when before someone mentions, oh, it looks like you may be tired or it looks like you may be this, are you aware of your emotions up to that point?
You know what I think is when I have that first, I need a break, you know, even if it's to go to the water fountain or just, you know, take a little walk and see who's smiling and who's not smiling.
Mm-hmm. And what does the seeing the smiling and not smiling do for you?
Well, it kind of like alerts me to the other moods that are around me.
And does that affect your mood at all?
You know, I never really thought about that. But I know if someone's looking like they're really not having a great day, I'll try to, you know, make them smile or make a little comment to get them to kind of lighten up. Other than that, I can't say that it really makes me feel down or, you know, any lower than I might feel at that possible moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does sound healthy to me, meaning that you already have an awareness of how you feel, but more importantly, it sounds like you have more of an awareness of how others feel as well. But it sounds like it's not to the point where it completely, you encompass whatever those feelings or their emotions are. You're just more willing to kind of help them with the process or with whatever emotions they may be having. So how do you feel emotional, knowing your emotional intelligence, how do you feel that would help you?
Well, I feel that it definitely will help you when it comes to making a decision because you want to, you know, maybe think it out a little bit more or, you know, pausing before you answer a question to just make sure that you have yourself in check. And I think a lot of times that it may revolve around time. Like, for instance, right now just looking up, I realize that we have about 2 minutes left. And that we shouldn't have even maybe gone this far into this conversation. So with this 2 minutes left, if you'd like to thank anyone, and we can continue this on at a later date, or tell us once more, how do we reach you? That would make my emotional intelligence rise.
All right. Well, as you just noticed or witnessed, you know, these conversations that I do have with individuals can get really deep, and there's a lot that we can discuss and talk about. And a lot of it is self-discovery and exploration and things of that nature. So it's always very interesting and usually enlightening for the individual on the other end of the call and myself as well. There's a lot that I learned from my clients. So if anyone is listening and is interested in whether it's one-on-one life coaching sessions, the emotional intelligence aspect, or if it's a combination of both, I can be reached at www.btforbreakthroughtransitions.com and my email address, drcbrc@btransitions.com. I'd like to thank my wonderful mother for calling in and my support system that I have. I have a wonderful support system, which I think is also an important aspect of emotional intelligence as well, being able to lean on people, have that support when you do have those highs and those lows with your emotions and different aspects of your life. So
I think that that was the fastest minute and 30 seconds that you can get. You've gotten so much out. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
I hope that we've learned a lot, and I'm sure that, you know, a lot of our listeners and those who are listening to the show archived can get in touch with you, visit all of your different Facebook pages, and appreciate your time here tonight.
Thank you for the invite.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com. where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.